Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast. My name is Taylor and I'm super excited today because we are welcoming our very first guest. He's a real estate investor out of Texas. He's got 4 years of running experience where he's ran 3 half marathons, 2 ultra marathons, and 2 triathlons. He completed his first marathon in January 2021 in Louisiana. I'm sure he's got a wealth of knowledge to share with us today. So without further ado, please welcome Cody Caswell. I guess we'll kind of start from the beginning because I'm looking forward to hearing about what training was like for your first marathon when everything was pretty brand new. But before we get there, how did you get into running originally?
So it's a funny story. I had always like probably a lot of people had the dream to run a marathon. A lot of people have that dream and it sounds cool to say too, but a lot of people never actually act on it.
Sure.
So, I'm a real estate investor and I had recently started going to a lot of the real estate investing meetups. And one of the guys, he's actually one of my best friends now, this is four years ago. So this is the end of, about the middle of the end of 2019. I wanted to be better friends with him. Honestly, I kind of wanted to get to know him, wanted to get to know his business. And we kind of just hit it off right off the bat. He was a really good guy. And I just told him, he was telling me about his marathon journey. He had just did his first one. And he was just kind of diving into the race world. And he said, you know, I've been doing this marathon thing. I think it's fun. I think I'm going to try and go a little bit further. And I said, you know, I'd love to run a marathon one day. And flat out, he just told me, well, why don't you? And kind of like took me back. And I was like, man, I don't know. I feel like I'm just saying it.
That's
and
a
like
great I had, question.
Yeah, it was a great question. Like, am I just saying this like because it sounds cool or do I actually want to run a marathon one day? And I was like, well, I don't know. I don't. And he said, well, why don't you come run with me? This Sunday. He's like, I got a long run planned. Why don't you come run with me? You can just however many miles you can get in. Great. If not great. And we went on that first run and we talked, we hit it off. We're just kind of, you know, getting to know each other, whatever. And it just kind of like challenged me in a way that, hey, are you actually going to do this thing that you're saying you want to do? Or are you just going to be a talker kind of like everybody else? And I didn't want to be a talker. I've always been that way in my life. That like, I've never wanted to be the person that said they wanted to do something with no intent of actually doing it. I've never been that person. And I just got challenged to it. I got called to do it. And that's kind of how I got started running. So originally it became because I just kind of wanted to get to know this guy. And then like, as I, you know, kind of started dipping my toes in, I just had this feeling of, hey, if I'm going to say I want to do this, I need to actually go out and like, I need to walk the walk.
Sure. I think sometimes you just need that push. It's a hard distance or challenge to kind of wrap your mind around, I feel like, especially in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
So that's really cool. That's how you got into it. So did you sign up for the marathon right there or were there a few steps in between?
Oh, no, a lot of steps in between. So this is middle of 2019 and I was in college or I was just maybe fresh out of college. Yeah, I was just fresh out of college. I had a couple of roommates and one of my other roommates had said that he always wanted to run a marathon as well. So we said, why don't we train for it together? So we actually signed up for a half marathon. We signed up for the Austin half marathon and we just started training. We trained through the winter together. It was a lot of fun. We did Tom Holland's book, which was recommended to me by my friend that challenged me. We had a 16 week plan and we just did the training run and we felt fantastic too. So going into 2020, this is February of 2020 is when the race was. We started training probably around September or so. We felt great. And, you know, we were young. I was like, 21, 22 at the time. We kind of felt like he could do anything. And I remember standing in line at the 2020 Austin Ave Marathon. We were like, should we switch to the full marathon?
And
in line to pick up our packets. We were like, man, we feel great. Should we just do the full marathon and just do it now? We ended up not. But no, I did not sign up for a full marathon. I actually did that half marathon. And, you know, the transition of going from that half marathon to a full marathon is kind of a whole other story. So, So the way that sort of happened was I told myself, you know, I'm going to run a full marathon in 2020. I did the race, the half marathon, and kind of kept training, you know, right after the first race. It was definitely harder than I thought it was going to be. So right after the first race, started slacking a little bit more running, but started picking it back up in the summer. Got super hot. I was living in Louisiana at the time, so it was super hot, super humid, hard to train right there in the meat of the summer. And then in August of 2020, we had two major hurricanes hit our town. It was like $9 billion in damages. We had all of our properties got damaged, and there was a lot of opportunity for us because we were in construction at the time and we started buying a lot of properties.
Sure.
And I got really busy with work. So it sort of like fell by the wayside. And so around November or so, I was, you know, trying to stick and running, but I was really, really busy at the time too. So I was training as much as I could. And I definitely wasn't trained enough for a full marathon. And my friend that got me into running, the original guy, he had told me, you know, are you going to run this marathon this year or not? And I was like, man, I just don't, like, there's no races coming up. I have no friends doing it. My other friend that I ran the half with had decided he didn't want to run a full marathon, didn't want to train for it. So I had nobody to run it with. And so my buddy, he actually told me, I'm running a 27-mile race on January 2nd. And he said, why don't you come out and run it with me? He was like, yeah, you didn't run a marathon by 2020. But he was like, but you're 2 days late and you got to run an extra 0.8 miles. He was like, so that 0.8 miles will make up for the 2 days that you're late on it.
There you go.
I know. And I was like, you know what? I don't think I can do it. I told him, I was like, there's no way. I'm not trained enough. This is like, I would say this is around December 10th or December 12th. So
when he's telling you this.
Yeah, when he's telling me this. Yeah, so we're less than a month away.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like I was ready. I had never been over a half marathon by this point, but I had been making a lot of 10-mile runs. So my base was really, really high, and I was feeling really good. And he said, he just challenged me. This is probably a Friday. He said, I want you to go out and run 16 miles on Sunday. He said, if you can run 16 miles on Sunday, he said, you can run that marathon. You can run the race. I said, okay, I'll go. Sure enough, I did it. I went out and I ran the 16 miles, and after that, I felt good enough, or I, you know, scared enough, challenged enough, whatever it might have been at the moment.
Yeah.
I signed up that day right after I ran that 16 miles, and I said, you know what? I'm running this ultra.
Very cool. And half of it is just signing up for it, I think. Once you've kind of wrapped your head around it, it's like, I don't have any choice but to do it now, so I've got to figure out how to make it happen.
Absolutely. I think like the anticipation too would have been harder for me to commit if I would have like signed up for one 6 months down the road. I know that's what you did for yours. I think that would have been tough for me because like I did that for the half marathon, but like a 13.1 is a lot easier to think about than 26.2.
For sure.
I think the anticipation would have scared me a lot more if I didn't just say like, I'm running one in 3 weeks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I can say for me, it was the taper period was the worst part because you had been training for so long and then you had to come to a halt at the end of your training and just trust that you did everything you could. It was miserable at the end. So I almost feel like, I probably would have been pretty nervous only being a month out, to be honest. But I think that, the time it takes to train or however much time that you dedicate to training can make you a little antsy.
I think it
just
does.
Thinking about race day.
Right. It's just thinking about race day. It makes you nervous, makes you doubt yourself and everything. And I had a really good, my buddy I ran it with was a great sports system. He was, you know, at this point he had done 3 or 4 races and he said, look, I'm not here to make my best time. He's like, I only want to get you through. So I'm going to be with you the whole time. We're going to push you through. No problem. Just trust the process. Trust you can do it. And trust that your adrenaline is going to push you the last 10 miles through. And I was like, okay,
sure.
Let's go.
I believe you.
Yep. Blind faith.
So you ran the 16 miler. And then what, were there any other big milestones after that before race day or it was mostly maintaining?
Maintaining. You know, at that point, like it's taper period, right? So we were kind of coming up with taper. So I ran the 16 miles. I got a couple of longer runs in. I got a couple, like I was like a 12 and a 14, but I never crossed that 16 mile mark. And I just trusted that my base was strong enough to be able to handle it. And it was, you know, at the end of the day, we got through the race, no problem. But yeah, no, nothing, no big milestones. The only thing I was a little bit nervous about was like New Year's Eve, right? Like, am I going to be a little bit hungover?
Oh, sure.
Am I going to be a little hungover for this race? But no, definitely took it light that New Year's. And I just trusted the process that I could get through it.
Very cool. Very cool. So race day comes around. I assume you have to be wherever you were pretty early in the morning. You had your friend with you, right? What was going through your head that morning?
Well, I'm super green at this point too. So at this point, I'd only run the Austin Half Marathon. And you know, like any big city marathon, they got tons of stations, aid stations. They got tons of porta potties. Like they're super prepared for it.
Yeah.
This race was a 50-person trail run in a really,
tiny.
50-person trail run in a state park in Louisiana, like in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, minimal volunteers, minimal aid stations, kind of minimal everything. It's very scrappy. Yeah. Some guys that put it on, they're really cool, but they're very scrappy guys trying to put together this race. And there's just a lot of people. So I was not read up on it. I was not prepared. I just kind of showed up to my buddy's doorstep and I was like, hey, let's run. It was like 4:30 in the morning. We had about a 2-hour drive there. And first things first, I got out of the vehicle. He's like, okay, do you have like a Camelback to bring with you? And I was like, I don't even own a Camelback. Nope. I was like, there's not gonna be a bunch of aid stations. And he was like, oh no. He's like, we're trail running. This is way different. He's like, you don't have anything, do you? I was like, nope. He said, all right, let's get you prepared. So he ended up having an extra Camelback for me. We got a bunch of snacks from his house. Cause I learned, you know, when you're on trail races, especially, first of all, when it's marathon length, you want to make sure that you are totally self-sufficient. So you're not relying on the aid stations. You know, if you need water, you want to make sure you have water. I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know that I needed to bring snacks with me. I thought that we were going to have a ton of aid stations and everything was going to be fine. But he got me set up, you know, he said, hey, look, here's an extra Camelback. We're going to grab you a couple snacks. We'll get some bananas. And we're going to have, you know, something for you to be able to maintain yourself throughout the race. So, what was going through my head? I'm very much a, you know, like nothing really is going to scare me to the point of stopping. I'm definitely more of like a, hey, I'm here, I'm going to do it. And I don't really like, nervousness doesn't really affect me that much. So I don't really get nervous. I don't really get scared of challenges. If anything, it more excites me. So, my thoughts going into race day were, I'm going to do this one way or the other. I've got seven hours. I got 7 hours to run this race. I'm going to be out here running this trail until it's done. And that's it. That's it. I didn't think about time. I didn't think about distance. The way I like to think about long runs in general, which I definitely thought about on this day, was I can pretty much run any distance that I'm going to run in a full day. And I know I'm not going to be there for a full day. You know, sun comes up, sun comes down. So by the time the sun goes down, I'm going to be done with this race. You know, it's just a day commitment. And by the end of the day, what I'm doing is going to be done.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Just there's an end in sight, I think, when you think like that, right? Which is important for sure. So no gels, no electrolytes, nothing like that. It was just bananas and whatever your friend had for you.
Yep, whatever he had for me. I had nothing. So,
man.
And he likes the, and he actually drinks like, uses the actual goo gels. And I hate the gels. So he gave me a couple years. Like, here, take these with you. You're going to want them. And I was like, let me try this before I actually do this mid-race. And I tried it and I was like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. So
didn't like it.
Yeah,
was it like a texture? I feel like some people don't like the texture. Some people don't like the taste. What didn't you like?
It's all the above. I hate it in general. Like it makes my stomach really upset. I just don't like them. I love the chews. The chews are fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at that time, I didn't even know those chews existed. So.
Existed. Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, we had a couple of bananas. I ate really good before the race. So by this time, you know, I had been running, you know, a lot of half marathon distance stuff. So I kind of figured out like, what is my body like in the morning? I had my breakfast, you know, I had a bagel with an egg and a piece of cheese on it. That's like my go-to breakfast. Yep. It's great. And that was pretty much about it. We packed a couple of bananas in the sack and we said, you know, this is probably going to make it work. And he's kind of the same way as me, is like, no matter what you put on him, like he's going to get through it. So we were kind of both like, hey, let's just go out here and like piece together and have fun. He had actually did the same race prior too. So he was aware, like we had a few aid stations along the way and he knew that the guys that put it on would have stuff. So we had pretzels and, you know, M&Ms and all that kind of stuff. Some things. It wasn't like, definitely wasn't the best stuff ever, but it was enough to get you through the race.
Sure. I've only done a couple trail runs, but both of them have been like that, where they kind of have just, you know, a folding table at a random mile with some random snacks and you just do with what you can.
Yep. They're scrappy. They're super scrappy. Yeah. There's not a lot of people. They don't have a big budget. They just kind of put it out there and do what they can do. They actually had a tamale eating contest on that race too.
No way. In the middle of it.
Somebody went out there around mile 18 or so, probably a little sooner than that, probably more like mile 15. Had a giant ice chest full of tamales, and whoever got ate the most tamales got a trophy.
So I feel like this is like a first marathon on steroids, having a tamale competition, an extra mile, a trail run. It's like that's quite the experience.
I didn't win the tamale eating contest, granted.
Did you try?
I ate two, and I was like, after two, I was like, I don't see how somebody eats more than this. Turns out a guy ate like eight.
Like, oh my gosh, that just sounds miserable.
Yeah, he threw up all over the place.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, brutal. So besides the tamales, how was the actual race? I know a trail run's different, obviously, than a lot of people's first marathon experience on pavement. So what was the experience like?
It was super cold the morning of, and at the time, I've grown to love cold running, but at the time, I didn't like cold running. So It was just super cold and frigid the morning of. Started out with a lot of clothes on. It was real kind of heavy feeling. And it was a half marathon, or it was like a 14 mile and a 27 mile. So technically they're both a little bit over length, but it was one trail, little bitty. We had about 50 people total running it, and it was an out and back. So it wasn't a loop, but it was through a beautiful state park. So that, definitely made it a little bit better.
Sure.
It was just really cold starting out, but we warmed up. I took the stuff off, we kind of took our jackets and threw them in a spot because we knew we were going to be running past it later on. The race itself definitely felt 100 times better than I thought it would. I thought, this is my first trail race, and I'd only been on like 2 trail runs prior to this too. It wasn't like I've been running trails. First trail race, I thought it was going to be really tough. I thought I was going to trip a lot. Thought I was going to end up really bloody at the end. And yeah. I thought I was going to cramp because it definitely wasn't in a flat part of Louisiana. Now, Louisiana doesn't have a lot of hills in general, but this is a hilly part. But I thought it was going to be really, really bad, but I actually held it together extremely well. We had a rule of thumb that we weren't going to run any uphills just because, from the start on, because it wasn't like they were super long hills. There was just a lot of variation in this course.
Yeah.
So we had decided early on we didn't want to exhaust ourselves running the uphills, especially in the first half of the race, maybe on the back half some if we felt good. So on the first half of the race, we just took it super conservative. We had a really, decently slow time. I think we ran about 12 minute miles, which, on the road of about a 9:30. So it was about 2 minutes and 30 slower, which is normal for trail races to be a little slower, but we just took our time. We made sure that we weren't pushing ourselves past the point of exhaustion to where like the back half was going to be really tough. We wanted to make sure that our legs weren't tired and going to start getting sloppy on the back half, because then we'd end up tripping a lot, falling, and we'd end up bloody. Somebody might get hurt or something. So we just definitely took it slow, took it easy, and we felt really, really, really good. Through the race, I thought it was going to be really difficult. Never really got difficult. I never cramped up really bad. It was really just kind of floating through. I would say the tougher part of the race was probably miles 12 through 15, which is usually like my tough spot anyways, because you're kind of like, all right, half marathon's up, and it kind of sets in that you're like, oh my God, I have to go another.
Halfway done.
I have to go another half marathon. Like I just started,
Yep.
And so that's kind of like, it definitely was like the low point, which, as well as I do, running is definitely a series of peaks and valleys. You have
100%.
You have miles where you feel fantastic, and then all of a sudden it's like a train hit you, and you just have to
ran in my life.
It's like I've never ran in my life. Exactly.
Yep.
I ran a 10 miler this morning, and it was like that for my at mile two. It was like really random. What's where like on? You just like sometimes some miles feel really bad, some miles feel a lot better, and it was the natural peaks and valleys of a race. But my main thing was that I didn't want to cramp. So I made sure I stayed super hydrated. I filled up the pack every single aid station that we got. I filled it up to the top to make sure I never ran out. And I handled it extremely well. I was really surprised.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, for your first marathon experience, all of those obstacles that were in your way, it's pretty impressive to kind of come out of it and being able to say that, like, that you were feeling pretty comfortable the whole time.
Right. My 50K was another story. 50K.
I was going to say.
I almost died.
I want to hear about that one for sure. What was the feeling afterwards? Were you immediately like, all right, this was fantastic. I want to keep signing up for these things. I want to keep pushing myself. Or were you kind of like, well, let's go find the next marathon and start training for that? What was going through your head afterwards?
Afterwards, I definitely like knew I wanted to run more trail races specifically because the trail race was like it was a lot smaller community. Everybody was kind of like slopping it in the trails together. And when you kind of like ran up on somebody, it was almost like a surprise, right? Like it was a nice surprise. You see another person and you end up talking to them for a couple of miles and somebody pulls off. And it was just like a lot smaller community. You feel like you got to know people a little bit better out there. And like you're struggling not with 30,000 other people. It's like with 30 other people. So you kind of like form another like level of connection with people there. So I definitely knew I wanted to run more trail races. I didn't know when the next time I wanted to run a race was. I didn't know the next race I wanted to run. I probably at that point, the 27 mile race went so good that I did want to push a little bit further. I knew that I wanted to run a 50K, especially because my friend that I was running all these races with at the time, he was running a 50K too. And I was like, you know what? I want to do one as well.
That helps. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely helps when you got somebody pushing you. And he was like, he's the pushing type. So I knew I wanted to run a 50K. I just didn't know when. I just knew I wanted to run a little bit farther. I probably knew I didn't want to go past 50K just from the level of training involved. And I knew I wanted to run more trail races. I really enjoyed it. I knew at that point, like, I was hooked forever.
Sure.
And yeah. This is, you know, 3 years ago, and I'm running races 3 years later. Like, it's my first ones.
Yeah. Once you get to that point, for me, it was the half marathon point, but you kind of dove right into the full distance. But once you get to that point, you can't go back. If you stop, you have to start all the way over, and nobody wants to start all the way from the beginning again. The beginning sucks.
Yep,
so
100%.
Yeah. Cool. So we're feeling good afterwards. You knew you wanted to stay on the trail run. So what was next? Was it immediately start training for this 50K, or what, did you have a couple of trail runs in between?
So what came next was the 50K. So how that ended up happening was I told the same friend, you know, hey, I want to run a 50K for sure. And training kind of slacked off. I was working a lot still. I got really busy, and training just sort of slacked off. You know, right after the marathon, you take a couple of weeks off, and it's hard to like kind of get back in that routine. And I just never really got back in the routine good. So what ended up happening was my friend said he wanted to run a 50K. I said I wanted to run a 50K. And then I ended up telling another friend of mine that actually lives in Montana that I wanted to run a 50K as well. And we were just all kind of talking. And one day out of the blue, this is probably around March or April, so a couple of months later, my friend in Montana randomly sent me a link to a 50K in Yellowstone. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, super cool. So I saw it and I was just like, I think I can do it. So
yeah,
I called my other friend and I said, hey, would you want to go to Yellowstone and run a 50K? And he was like, absolutely. Like, not even, no question about it. He's like, yep.
Great friend.
I know. He's like, absolutely. And I said, okay, well, I got a friend in Montana, lives a few hours from Yellowstone. He wants to drive in and do it with us. He was like, that sounds fun to me. So sure
enough. And how far out were you at this point?
This is March. So we ran it in the end of July. So
okay,
a good little ways away, you know, especially whenever you're like, you're that fresh off of a marathon, your base is there. So we had time to train. Didn't train. anyways, we decided that week, we said, we're going to all sign up for it. And we were going to fly to Montana. My friend was going to drive in with his family. We're all going to stay in Yellowstone for a few days and run this 50K together.
Yeah.
Then this is March. It starts getting hot in Louisiana around April. And that's when it really got hot. And I got really busy working and I sort of slacked off and I wasn't training like I should. And May rolled around kind of towards the end of May and it kind of hit me. I was like, we are 2 months away from 32 miles and I'm nowhere near ready for this.
Sure.
Yeah. So I started training really hard. I kind of jumped right back in. I started running 10, 12, 14 miles. And then I made the fatal mistake of getting new shoes.
Yep.
So I got a brand new pair of Brooks. I don't know why I switched. I was doing great in the Brooks Ghost, but I switched to the Brooks Glycerins for some odd reason. I was like, you know what? I want to try something new.
Sure.
And then my stupid self at 23 or so, whenever I did this, still green in the running world, to break them in, I said, I'm going to go on a really, really long run. And I broke them in on an 18-mile run.
Yes.
Right off the bat.
That's a long one.
Yeah, right off the bat. Never even walked in and ran 18 miles. It was the dumbest decision I've ever made. So it turns out that run gave me really bad IT band syndrome.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is like the first week of June. I got really bad IT band syndrome. Yeah. And I didn't notice it on the run. I noticed it whenever I took a few days off and went out for another run. And like 1 mile in, my knee was just like every step killing me. And I was like, this is not going to be good.
Yeah.
Start hurting me really bad. I immediately said, like, I've got to do something about this. I'm a month and a half away from a 50K and I've been training for this and I committed and we're flying to Montana for Christ's sake. Like,
yeah,
I'm doing this race, right? I'm doing this race. So I ended up going to a knee doctor and he said what it was, IT band syndrome. He said, look, you're 23 years old. I can't approve putting a steroid shot in your knee, like right off the bat. You're going to have to go to a little bit of therapy. So I went to therapy for 2 weeks, didn't do anything, of course. And I went back to my follow-up visit with the doctor and I said, look, I'm going to put it to you straight. Like I've been training for this race. I'm meeting a friend in Montana. I'm flying with another friend. Like I'm not going to run this race.
Right.
So you put a steroid shot right in that knee and we're going to make it through this race. And that's what he did. The end of June, he put a steroid shot directly into my knee and I didn't feel a thing. It felt
great. Perfect.
It felt wonderful. I didn't feel a thing. Bit me in the butt later, but I didn't feel a thing. I still wasn't prepared though, because like now I had 2 weeks of therapy where I wasn't running at all for that 2 weeks. My miles weren't there. My breathing, nothing was ready for this race, but I said, you know what? I'm going to do it regardless.
Yeah.
So ended up going to Montana. Louisiana's at sea level. So I had trained and pretty much ran all my races at sea level. Austin as well. Yeah. Not very high. It's where I live now. Montana, where we were running, was a little bit over 7,000 feet elevation, which which me or my friend,
quite the jump.
Yeah, we didn't even think about it though. Like it never even crossed our minds until we got there and we went on a small hike in Yellowstone and we were like gassed.
Yeah.
And we were like, how in the world are we going to do this? Like a couple of days before we went to get acclimated, we were just, drinking so much water and the elevation was really getting to us, but both of us were like, hey, we're going to figure this out.
Yep.
So the race starts. Race morning, we were all taking photos. It was another trail race, maybe about 50 people, not a lot of volunteers, anything. While we were all taking photos kind of away from the group, apparently the race director came in and told everybody that they didn't have as many volunteers show up as they thought would. So they had to take away two of our aid stations. So
that doesn't seem like the best answer.
Terrible. Keep in mind, we were taking photos. We didn't even hear this guy. So anyways, they had an aid station at the start line, obviously, and then 6 miles in. And the way the 50K was ran, it was 2 16-mile loops.
Okay.
So you did have you had a 10-mile stretch there where you didn't have any water in Yellowstone National Park in the end of July. This race started at 9 a.m. So it was a late start. Already got hot. It was already like 100 degrees. It was crazy.
God. Yeah, crazy.
Terrible. So we set out on this race. First 6 miles felt great for all of us. We got to the aid station and none of us really drank too much water out of our packs. We were, about 3/4 full and we all decided we're going to wait till the next aid station because we don't want to be like super heavy on our pack. About 3 miles in, we start wondering where this second aid station is.
Yep.
And turns out we asked somebody that ran past us, said, hey, do you know where the next aid station is? They said like, oh, that was the only one, like a few miles back. And we all kind of looked at each other like, what?
Yikes. Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, he was like, the race director said it in the beginning of the race. Did y'all not hear? We're like, oh no, we didn't hear.
Yeah, we did not. Nope.
Nope. 2 miles later, I ran out of water.
Oh no.
Yeah. So I ran out of water with 5 miles left to go in like the middle of July in Yellowstone. And I got really, really dehydrated.
I bet. Yeah.
I started cramping around mile 8. So I started cramping up and I pushed through, told my legs, like, just get over it. You'll get to water and you'll catch up, which, us experienced runners now, we know that doesn't happen.
Yep.
But we got back to the start line and I was just like drained, shriveled up, cramping. And I told my wife, Sarah, I was like, I got to get replenished. I was like, give me everything. So I immediately ate like 2 or 3 bananas. I drank 2 liquid IVs. And in order to like try to get myself to feel better, I ended up pouring liquid IV into my camelback to try to like
give you a little boost.
Something.
Yeah.
We felt bad. The cramps had sort of subsided, but we set back out on the trail. About a mile in, we're probably like 3/4 of a mile in, we were walking and my legs locked up from my waist to my ankles. I like just knotted up
everything
and I just fell over like a tree.
Oh no.
And I blacked out. Yeah. So I totally blacked out and I was on the ground for about 15 minutes before I could stand up. I was massaging out my legs. I blacked out for about 5 minutes. I don't remember anything.
Wow.
I say it was five, probably, you know, 2 minutes, but it felt like that.
Yeah, it probably felt longer than five, honestly.
It felt like I was on the ground for an eternity. I didn't know how was going to get back up, but there was no way I wasn't going to finish this race.
Yeah.
So I had, you know, massaged my legs out as much as I could, and we got back up. And my other two friends felt great, which I felt really bad because they wouldn't leave me. Good friends.
Yeah,
but they are. We set back out. We had 15 miles to go, and we did run walk for the next, for the next 15 miles. Is a lot of run walk. I cramped up 3 or 4 times. I was really, really sick, dehydrated. I was seeing stars. I was kind of blacking it out. It was really, really bad. It was probably the closest I could think of to death, like anybody could humanly come.
Yeah.
It was bad. But we ended up finishing. I finished with 18 minutes to spare.
Wow. Wow. There you go. That's great.
Yeah. I ran it in 7:42, 7 hours, 42 minutes. It was probably the worst 50K of all time. But
that is just such a long time to be on your feet, especially in that heat too. Like I can't even imagine being on my feet for that long.
It was brutal. And it wasn't even that. It was the heat. It taught me a lot. Like, now whenever I do races, when I run races, I don't run races in the middle of the summer because I know that my training is all through the middle of the summer and I'm not doing that. It's just asking for it.
Yes.
It taught me a lot about, hey, don't pass up an aid station. A lot of experienced runners say that is like, never pass up an aid station. And God, they're right. Don't pass up an aid station, you know, keep your water pack filled and you can't catch your hydration back up.
Right.
So, you know,
Once it's gone.
Once it's gone, it's gone. So you can't catch your hydration back up. You've got to get ahead of it and stay ahead of it. A really good runner, I think it might have been Rich Roll or somebody, had said that it's a lot better to run uncomfortable because you're too fueled rather than run uncomfortable because you're not fueled enough.
Sure. I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like my go-to now is like, I want to be over-prepared. I want to be over-hydrated. I want to be like stuffed with food. Like the last thing I want to do is trying to be catching up because you can't catch up.
Right. Yeah. I was shocked at the amount of runners at my marathon that didn't have packs with them. Gels shoved in all areas of their packs and everything, but no packs with water on the back. I was surprised because it seems like you would want to be over-prepared for something like that and
definitely
almost be too comfortable, you know?
Definitely. And like, you know, like running with a pack, it's not like uncomfortable.
It's not bad.
I think it's pretty comfortable, you know, but
yeah.
I get it if you're like one of the really experienced runners, like trying to get your times back down. You're trying to win. Like,
yeah.
I get those people definitely running without packs, or if you're in like a really, really big race, like I know that I run the Austin Half Marathon every year. There's aid stations on every corner. Like you couldn't get thirsty if you wanted to. So, you know, for races like that, I can see how somebody would want to, but for like any sort of mid-size, smaller race, I definitely want to be self-sustaining. I want to have my own water. I want to have my own snacks to where like if my body feels like it needs it, I've got it.
Yeah. You're comfortable that way. Yeah. So that's quite the story. That's a pretty crazy second ultramarathon technically, but first big ultramarathon experience. Was there, I know you said you kind of had the end in sight the whole time, but was there any doubt? Did you ever feel like, man, I don't know if I'm going to finish this thing. I'm thinking about quitting. Like, was there any of that?
No, I've never been that type. I've always been the type that, like, if I'm setting out on something, I know that like I'm either going to fall over and die before I finish it, or like I am getting through this race. I've never been the type to quit halfway or to have doubts like that. I've never been that type, and I try to, like, you know, especially with running. Running teaches you a lot about yourself because I mean, it is all up to you, and you really can throw in the towel at any point, and it's a totally self-sustaining sport. You know, you don't really have anybody else to support you whenever you're feeling down. You have to push through. So it kind of like teaches you a lot about yourself of, you know, where do I dig from whenever those moments are coming down? And like, how do I trust that it's going to get better? You know, I think a lot of times when people are first getting into running, like they feel really bad at first and they're like, it's never going to get better. But running is a journey. You got, you know, if you're running for 4 hours, you've got ups and downs, and some miles feel great, some miles feel terrible. It just, you're never going, you know, rarely do you have a really, really long run that feels great 100% of the time.
Right.
You know, you have your ups and downs, but I think like it takes experience in your running journey and the will to push through whenever it gets like that to understand that the better times are coming. So if you feel really bad at mile two and you think like, oh, I just don't have it today, like keep running and see if your body picks back up, because it probably will. You know, it always does. And I've always been trusting that, you know, kind of like the David Goggins of, hey, whenever you say you're done, you're actually only at 40%. You know, you got a lot left in the tank. And that's kind of where I always like, revert back to is, you know, I, first of all, I'm not the first person to run a marathon, you know, like, so it's definitely possible.
And, durable, yeah.
You know, so if it's possible for, you know, millions of people to run a marathon, if it's possible for millions of people's bodies to run a marathon, it's possible for my body to run a marathon. And then at that point, I'm quitting because my mind is making me quit. And right. I've never been one to accept my mind making me quit something. So it's always been like, hey, my body's going to fail me, or we're going to get through this race.
Yep.
And running is 70-80% mental as it is.
Yeah, definitely is. I mean, you're there with your thoughts for multiple hours. It's something that you just have to push through for sure. Are you a music listener, a podcast listener? Do you do anything to kind of distract yourself during a run?
I'm a book listener.
A book listener, okay.
I listen to books. What? So lately, and it's, you know, as we run more and more, I'll get into certain things. Like right now, I'm really into memoirs. So I'm listening to people's memoirs. It's really, really interesting to do. I've been into podcasts at times, but I've never really been a music listener. It's always been a conversation. I have to have like somebody talking to me or listening to somebody's story or podcasts, like people going back and forth, because I'm very conversational as it is. And I'm a people person. And I think getting, like, not having somebody to talk to for multiple hours at a time is the hardest part for me. Is like being alone for that long. So I think the conversation helps me.
So you're definitely a social runner. You prefer to be running with a group of people when you're out running.
Absolutely. If I could have somebody, if I could have a running buddy, like, please, somebody come run with me. Cause I'm definitely I'm not going to run with you silent. Like, I'm going to talk your head off.
Sure. Yep. Which is training in its own to be able to talk and run with somebody.
It is. Absolutely.
So looking back on those two experiences, your first marathon and your ultra marathon experience, what do you feel like you would have changed if you had those experiences back?
For the first marathon, I wouldn't have changed anything. I don't think I would have done a different race. I don't think I would have done, I don't think I would have like better prepared for it. I think I did it exactly the way that was good for me. Kind of dove in, kind of said like, hey, I'm going to do it and I'm just going to have to figure it out. That's kind of how I am as a person. Like, I don't really want to like give myself a lot of time to think about it, because I won't ever talk myself out about it, but I definitely worry about it.
Sure.
And the amount of time I can minimize, you know, the worrying is definitely good for me. So the first race, I don't think I would have done a single thing differently. I think it was fun. Being green too was fun, because it was funny between me and my friend that ran it. We're able to look back on it now and like joke about how green I was to everything. I kind of had to like guide me.
Yeah, nothing to lose.
Right. It was like, it just kind of showed up. It was like, all right, let's do this. Like,
let's run this marathon. Yeah.
Yeah, it was super fun. And it's a lot of good memories to look back on and reminisce on. So I wouldn't change anything about that. For the 50K, I would have done a lot different. I definitely would have trained more. I would have been a lot more disciplined in my training. And I would have like taught myself to be a morning runner. At the time, I'm a morning runner now. And I've taught myself that, and like, I, you know, fell in love with it. And now I hate running in the afternoons, but at the time I was not a morning runner. So, you know, running in the afternoon got difficult because I was working, and then, you know, what you're doing kind of bleeds into 7 and 8 o'clock and past 8:30, 9 o'clock, like you don't want to go run anyways. Like you want to start winding down for the night. We're adults. So, I think I would have liked to teach myself to be a morning runner, and I definitely would have trained more. And I probably wouldn't have ran it in a place that had such a big elevation change. I think we didn't even think about it until we were actually there experiencing it, for one. But for two, like I would have did a little more research maybe, and like just kind of thought about that a little more. Thought about the conditions of what I'm training in, and tried to do my first 50K in the similar conditions. That way my body wasn't like trying to adapt to something so quickly.
In shock. Yeah.
I think, you know, afterwards, like if you've done a 50K or two, like, yeah, sure, go try one somewhere crazy and, you know, do it. But for your first one, I think it just would have been a lot more wise to do it where my, you know, I was just similar conditions to my training. And I definitely wouldn't have changed shoes either. That was a stupid mistake.
Yeah, that's a tough one because I kind of went through something like that too, where I felt I was at a good amount of miles on my shoes that I was wearing, but I didn't know if I wanted to shake it up or just kind of buy the same ones that I've been working with, just a newer pair. I did the same thing. Yeah. Thankfully, I had knee pain during my run. I guess thankfully, not thankfully, but I had knee pain during my first run that I had with them, so I returned them pretty quickly. But I think a lot of people can relate to, you want to make the new shoes work. Of course, you just bought them. So you want to push yourself in them, and then you end up, yeah, maybe potentially hurting yourself.
So my friend that you know, I was running these races with, he's been running for, I don't know, probably 6 years now. And he's done, I think at this point, I think he's done 100K. He's gone far.
Wow.
And he's been wearing the same shoes for like 4 years, just keeps buying the same pair of shoes. So about like two or three pair at a time, and just wear them out. You understand me? He's like, why would I fix something that's not broken? And I totally agree with him. I have I've got a shorter pair of shoes and a longer shoes, and just like Brooks Ghost are great for me. I wouldn't, like, I don't know why I thought I should shake it up. They weren't hurting my feet, they weren't doing anything. I was just like, let me try something new, and that was just like a dumb young runner's mistake.
Sure, lesson learned.
Yeah, lesson learned 100%.
So one thing, and this is kind of going back a little bit, but one thing I didn't ask about was for your second one, was there any nutrition involved that you had kind of switched up from the first time from your first race? In terms of, I guess closer to the race is usually when people start to look into nutrition, but what did that side look like for you?
So I'm a little bit different. I don't pay attention to my nutrition so much. I probably should, but I don't really pay attention to my nutrition. My main thing that I try not to do is I try not to change it up. So I just don't want any major diet changes the week prior to. So, you know, I don't really watch my nutrition like I should. I eat probably like a pretty normal person, and I just eat pretty normal up to the race. The only thing that I make sure that I do is, you know, the night prior to a big run, I'll eat something pretty hearty, but it's not going to be like I'm not going to super carb load or anything like that, especially not the carb loading. Like I've read a lot of bad stuff about that, and it makes me feel bloated and heavy. Like, I don't eat pasta every day of the week as it is. So why would I eat pasta every day of the week before a big race? Like,
yeah,
it
is an interesting concept, isn't it? Carb loading.
It is. It's like, you don't carb load in your training at all. You never carb load. So like, it's one thing if I say, yeah, I want to eat like just an Italian dinner the night before, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I eat Italian dinners all the time, but to eat it for like 3 or 4 days prior to, that seems silly to me. Like, you don't do that on a normal basis. So why would you change it up?
Yeah. It was weird for me too. I was getting a lot of conflicting advice the week before. I ended up carb loading, but somebody told me if I didn't gain weight the week before my marathon, then I wasn't doing it right. And that felt very weird to me. I stuck with carb loading for like 3 days, and then I kind of went back to my normal diet because it just felt like too much. It was like, I'm going to be bloated the whole race for 26 miles. It doesn't seem like that seems pretty counterproductive to me, but I know everybody has different opinions on it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you'd be super heavy. I think it's like just weird. Like, I definitely agree with drinking a lot of water, but I don't agree.
Definitely.
I don't agree with like drinking a ton of Pedialytes, you know, or drinking a ton of liquid IV. If you don't normally do that, like, just don't change up anything. Your body's used to something. You know, like, stick with it. The only thing that I make sure on my races, and I dialed this in before, all my longer races, was it's the morning of, like, what am I eating right before the run? And then what am I eating during the run to stay fueled? So I sort of figured that out after the first 27 mile race. But for me, it's just it's like an egg sandwich in the morning. So it's super basic, just bread, egg, and a piece of American cheese. Like, for some reason, American cheese sits really well on my stomach.
Whatever works.
And then egg sandwich in the morning. And then whenever I run, Nature Valley almond bars do really well for me, and bananas.
So you eat actual granola bars while you're running?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's impressive. I don't know if anybody else could relate to this, but I can't, like, even chews I have a hard time with. Like, chewing on longer runs is difficult for me.
Interesting. I eat like a cow. Oh yeah,
really?
I eat, absolutely. I'll snack the whole time. I eat the chews. I'll eat like the little beans. I'll eat the I'll eat the honey stingers. Anything I can get my hands on while I'm running.
Man, that's impressive, honestly. What's your go to?
Definitely Nature Valley almond bars.
Okay,
they're great.
Cool.
I'll bring 3 or 4 of them and eat them. I love them, first of all. And secondly, like, it's not super heavy. You know, it's oats, granola, like, it's stuff that kind of sits well in your stomach. It's not real heavy. I think some of the runner's food gets a little heavy sometimes.
Yeah.
Honey stingers get a little heavy. And I think that even the chews, like, I can do like 1, maybe 2 packs on a marathon length race, but after that, they just get a little heavy. you know?
Yeah.
But for some reason, bananas sit really well. And the Nature Valley almond bars, they sit really well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, whatever works. It's so unique to your body. Everybody's body. I mean, everybody's body reacts differently to food in their everyday life anyways. So you can't expect it to be different when you're thinking about fuel.
100%.
That makes total sense.
And I'll drink a Pedialyte the day before. Just one though. I don't go crazy with them. I just drink one Pedialyte.
Yeah. That's
yeah. It. Nothing crazy. I should watch my nutrition more, but I definitely don't.
If you don't need it, then there's probably no point. Whatever feels good.
Yeah, it's whatever feels good. That's the thing. I'm really big on not changing it up right before, just because you put your body in this like freaked out mode of, hey, what are you doing to me? Like, why change it up?
Yeah, that's good advice. Cool. Well, a couple closing questions here that I'm going to ask kind of at the end of every one of these interviews. First one is, looking back, what advice would you give to somebody who is thinking about running their first marathon?
Anybody can do it. That's the simplest advice. Like, anybody on this planet can run a marathon. So do not think that you're the exception. You can totally do it. If it's something you want to do, set your mind to it and do it. It's not a hard decision. A lot of people treat it as this monumental thing that like is just this ultimate life feat. And it totally is. It totally is. But it's not as hard as you think. So like, go out, do it. Anybody on the planet with any body type at any age can run a marathon. It's literally 80% mental. It's about if you decide that you're going to do it or not. So if you want to do it, decide you're going to do it and go after it. It's not that bad.
Yeah, that's great advice. What training would you recommend? So what training resource would you recommend? And any suggestions throughout that training that you would recommend as well?
I would recommend Tom Holland's book, The Marathon Method. I would literally just read the book and I would follow the training programs in the back. He's got beginner, intermediate, and advanced training for half marathon and marathon length. I would literally just, wherever you're at, pick it. And I would read the book and just try to follow Tom's advice as best as possible. I think it's a fantastic book. It taught me a lot about the basics of form. It taught me a lot about nutrition, taught me a lot about, paying attention to what you're doing and what makes you feel good. Super simple book. It's not designed for the super athlete that's going to go out and, compete in marathons. It's built to help you run your first marathon, or built for the average runner that just wants to get a little bit better. So I recommend Tom Holland's book, The Marathon Method. Absolutely.
Cool. And how much for, I'm not as familiar with that one. How long is the training block for that one?
16 weeks. Every plan is 16 weeks. And I think your base, if you start on like the beginner marathon plan, is I think you maybe start at 2 or 3 miles. It's not super long. It's another piece of advice for training too is like, don't get so hung up on feeling good in those early runs. Like if you think like, how in the world would I go out and run 3 miles right off the bat? If you have to run 3/4 of a mile and just walk the last two, just do it. Just go out and put the miles in, even if you have to walk.
Yeah, agree. Even if you have to walk the whole time, it's just about time on your feet at first, getting your body used to being outside that long.
Absolutely. Yeah, especially those first runs, just about getting over there and getting used to being on your feet that long. So if you have to walk it, no problem. Just go for it.
And I can promise they're probably not going to feel good. So don't expect them to.
Totally.
I already asked you about fuel and shoes. So I guess the last question is just, what's next for you?
So my wife Sarah is running her first half marathon in Salt Lake City here next month. So I'm definitely going to run that with her.
Awesome.
For me, I've actually sort of gotten to a point in my running career where my base is really well. I can run half marathon, no problem. Marathon would be a little tricky, but I could scale up to marathon condition pretty quickly. I've gotten to where I kind of want to do some other hard challenges. So in 2022, I did a couple of triathlons. They were a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I've thought about Ironman. I've thought about just doing like summiting some big mountains. I want to do something different. So right now, the next like hard challenge that I'm actually really considering, and I'm thinking I'm probably going to do next year, is Jesse Itzler's 29-029 challenge.
I'm not familiar with that one.
So basically he has like 7 mountains across the country he does it at, and you hike up and take the gondola down, the equivalent of the height of Mount Everest.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and you have 24 hours to do it. So it's essentially like a 24-hour hike up a mountain, and you ride the gondola back down, and you do it to the equivalent of Mount Everest. So,
gosh, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. It's
a mental challenge, yeah.
Absolutely. It's another mental challenge. It's something different from running, but it still requires the same level of like training and fitness to do it. So I'm looking at some of these like alternative races and kind of seeing what I'd like to do. I'm thinking about a like a group race. So, you know, like one of those, you know, what are they, relay races where you got three or four,
yeah,
you got three or four partners and do stuff. I want to do some cool stuff like that. I think for me at this point, like I want to do something that still challenges me, but is not a marathon. Like I just want to do some different cool stuff. So probably the next one is probably 29:29. And then after that, I'll probably look into some relay races.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, excited to see what's next for you. And thank you so much for coming on and telling your story about your first couple experiences. This was really fun talking to you.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.